Joe Hall comes in and, you know, David Krejci kind of takes off, as does Taylor Hall. They look, at least for the immediate or right away, the dividends are paying off for those two.
Yeah, to this point, since the trade deadline, the acquisition of Taylor Hall, I don't think could have gone any better and been any greater than they would have hoped it would be. You know, obviously it's an incomplete picture. They still want to see how the playoffs play out. We talked to Cam Neely and Don Sweeney today, and what Cam Neely basically said was, you know, the playoffs have to play out first, but they do want to keep Taylor Hall based on what they've seen. And as long as the playoffs are similar to what we saw during the regular season, I expect that to be the case. And it doesn't just make Taylor Hall a better player being on a better team like the Boston Bruins, more established, more successful, you know, all that stuff. But it makes David Krejci a much better player, too. He has 15 assists in 16 games with Taylor Hall since he gets brought on board. And, you know, having a top six legit winger that can create plays, that can finish plays, a guy that's very much in the vein of a Nathan Horton or a Jerome Iginla-type player, is exactly what Krejci needs and what he's always needed. And that brings out the best in him. And, you know, I think all respect and credit to Jake DeBrusque. I think you're seeing now how much better a player Taylor Hall is than Jake DeBrusque based on how he's jiving and gelling here with David Krejci.
How does it change maybe the offseason plans with respect to Krejci with how he's kind of got himself going playing with Taylor Hall?
Yeah, I think it might. You know, I think before this trade went down, I think there was, you know, wasn't a fait accompli, I don't think, but I don't think they were leaning towards, you know, not bringing David Krejci back. Certainly that he's not going to come back at the $7.25 million number that he was at on his last contract. And I would expect, even if he does come back, it's probably a couple years a year, and it's, you know, a reduced rate, more in the, you know, 5 to 6 range. But I do think there's a much greater chance that he comes back now than before, and that he and Taylor Hall kind of become a package deal on that second line. And, you know, this is what the Bruins have needed for the last 3-4 years, is a second line that can tick in offense and that can be a threat that the other team has to worry about beyond the perfection line. You know, that the depth in scoring has been a huge issue for the Bruins, the 5-on-5 scoring, lack thereof, especially in the playoffs against better defensive teams, has been a real issue for them. And I think they've been fairly easy to stop in the postseason against good defenses. You shut down Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand, you shut down the Bruins. You shut down their power play, too, and they really don't have any hope of scoring. And that's changed with Hall on board. I think he changes the complexion of the second line. Now you have guys like Charlie Coyle and Nick Ritchie and Sean Corrali that are giving you a legit third line. And you've got, you know, two lines that can definitely score and a third line that can kick in. And that makes them a much more difficult team to handle in the offseason. So I think they've got to look at that and say, hey, maybe we do bring Krejci back at 35 years old. The only thing that can throw a wrinkle in this entire mix is Jack Eichel, if he becomes available, and certainly the Bruins would be interested in. If he comes on board, they're not going to be able to afford Krejci. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of that plays out in the offseason.
Joe Haggerty joins us. Yeah, but what do they have to offer in a trade, though, right? That would be my question. Right?
Correct. Because they're not going to deal Charlie McAvoy. They're not going to deal David Pastrnak. They're not going to deal this kid Jeremy Swayman, who looks like he's a future number one goaltender for the Boston Bruins. And beyond that, they've got guys like Jack Stanika, Uro Vakanainen, and they've got some decent prospects, but there are other teams around the league that are going to be much more interested in Jack Eichel that have much more to offer than, you know, B-plus prospects and late first-round picks, which is what the Bruins are going to have for the future next couple of years.
Now, Joe, you look at, you know, the salary cap. So Krejci's 35. You know, he's coming off a $7.25 million cap hit. You know, you look at Taylor Hall. He signed a one-year deal at $8 million. I know Hall really likes it in Boston. It's, you know, it's been great for his, you know, just mental state. It's fun. He's there. He you know, when you got Marchand and Pasternak, Hall can not have to worry about being the guy. I think the biggest misconception is people thought he needed to be the guy. He doesn't care about that stuff. It's actually better if he isn't. But Tuukka Rask, you know, $7 million. Krejci, $7.2 million. So what are some numbers you think are realistic for these guys? And do you think Rask comes back? And what type of number or salary at his age do you think Krejci will look for?
Yeah, I think Krejci would likely be in the five range, you know, maybe even less than that. And you put, because he's 35, you can give him less and give him performance bonuses to get up into the, you know, 6 to 7 range because he's an older player. That's something you can get away with Krejci. That's something they did with Zdeno Chara for the last few years. He was with the Bruins to bump up his pay with incentives a little bit. A guy like Rask, I look at Pekka Rinne's deal, the 3 years, $5 million a year, as kind of the blueprint for what you would try to get Tuukka Rask for if you want him to continue to be your number one. Now, do I think they would sign him for 3 years, given the way Swayman has looked? Maybe not. You know, maybe it's more like 2 years and $10 million or something like that, which you can afford to pay, you know, if you're going to have another guy in Swayman that's the number two goalie that's on an entry-level contract. So, you know, those two guys, I think they're going to – you're going to look at, I would say, $4 to $5 million at least in savings based on them coming back if they do re-sign them. So then you start to see where the money is there to get to a Taylor Hall. And I suspect if they wanted to sign Taylor Hall, I think he would have to come back for a little less than he was making this year, probably get multi-years so he takes less annually. And, you know, the Bruins really have kind of an internal salary structure where guys like Marchand and Pasternak and Bergeron have not taken top dollar to stay in Boston and to keep a winning nucleus, a winning core group together. So I think Taylor Hall would have to be part of that program too and take something in the, you know, $6 to $7 million year range, you know, for a multi-year deal and be right there neck and neck with what the best other players on the team are making. And that's kind of how they do it with the Bruins and how they stay successful. So, you know, the salary cap, I really think, is not going to be an issue for them based on getting those big numbers for Rask and Krejci off the books after this year.
Breaking down the Boston Bruins with Boston Hockey Now's Joe Haggerty. Joe, how do you like this first-round matchup with the Capitals for the Bruins?
Tough one. You know, they had good success against the Caps this year. They won four, lost four against them, which is much better than they usually do against the Capitals. The Capitals have really been the Bruins' daddies for a decade. You know, they've just bounced them around every time they've played them, pushed them around on the ice, been much bigger and stronger. I think the Bruins have a little more brawn and nasty to their game this year, so they're not quite as easy to be pushed around by the Capitals as before. I certainly think having better offensive players and more varied offensive players is going to help them against the Capitals. Braden Holtby was a guy that they just cast a spell over the Bruins whenever he played them, and he's gone now, so that, you know, part of that matchup doesn't exist anymore. So I don't think they're quite as tough a matchup, quite as sort of an unbeatable foe to the Bruins as they might have seemed in the past. But I think this is going to be a seven-game knockdown, drag-out first-round match. Going up against guys like Ovechkin, Tom Wilson, you know, TJ Oshie's a fierce competitor. Go down the list. There's some very good players and some very big, strong players that could put a hurt on you on the Washington Capitals. And, you know, the issue with the Bruins is I think they're talented enough and good enough, and I think they do have some matchup advantages that they will and can win this first-round matchup. But I think the Capitals are going to take a chunk out of them in this series. And that's tough when you face a team like that in the first round if you have aspirations to go on a two-month Stanley Cup play journey to win the whole thing. If you face somebody in the first round that really puts a hurting on you, you know, comes in hard in a few of your smaller defensemen, guys like Mike Riley and Matt Grizzlick, I think are going to be targets in the playoffs because they're smaller, and guys like the Capitals will come at them, and I think that's going to be tough for the Bruins. So all this stuff's going to bear watching, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think the Bruins have enough offensively, defensively, and just all around to beat the Capitals, but I think it's going to be a hell of a series.
Joe Haggerty joins. They should have an advantage, you would think, in goal, just on experience alone. You know, kind of two young guys there.
You would think so. Yeah, for sure. And Tuukka Rask, you know, it played pretty well down the stretch. He had one hiccup against the Rangers, but otherwise has looked really good. But, you know, we've also seen Tuukka have many meltdowns in the playoffs before. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But they should have the experience advantage. They should have, yeah, you know, certainly in goal. But other than that, I think this is going to be a pretty fairly even battle between the two teams.
You've seen a lot of the East. What do you make of the Islanders, Penguins? The Islanders have basically been a 500 team now. They've won 10 of their last 20 games. Right? They definitely have the weakest offense of the four playoff teams in the East. But, you know, can they stifle the Penguins? Do you feel? What do you like about, or what do you think in that series?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, part of the struggles the Islanders have had has been since Anders Lee got hurt. Right? They've had some real issues. Just all around, certainly putting the puck in the net, but just, you know, playing really winning high-level hockey with subtracting him from the lineup. But I like a lot of their players. I think they have a good team. But I also think, you know, what I've seen of the Islanders is very similar to the last couple of years. They're an extremely well-coached Barry Trotz team. You know, they block a lot of shots. They hustle. They play heavy and physical. They play good defense, tight games. But they maximize who they are and what they are during the regular season, and that's why they finish in one of the top teams and they get in the playoffs every year. But I find that the Islanders under Barry Trotz can't, like, take it up a level in the playoffs, and they kind of play at the same level that they were at in the regular season, which is a high level. But once you have these other talented teams, maybe more talented teams, that are playing at that same level, playing as hard as them, blocking shots, finishing checks, you know, playing tight, heavy defense, all that stuff, I find that, you know, they can't go up to the level of some of these other teams, and that's why they're usually an early round casualty. So I think the Pittsburgh Penguins, based on the way that they're playing, based on the talent that they have, I think they're going to beat the Islanders in that first round, and it might not even be seven games. And I would predict it's going to be the Bruins and the Penguins in the second round, which would be a great series. But, you know, I think we see the same thing from a lot of times from Barry Trotz teams, other than that Capitals team that he coached when he won the Cup, where they play great during the regular season. He gets every last inch he can out of them during the season, and then they just can't take it up a notch in the playoffs.
Joe, quickly, when you know you look at this format for the Bruins, and you mentioned Swayman, you think he's a potential starter. So, is there a chance that Swayman and Halak are the goalies, and they let Rask walk, or is it going to be Rask and Swayman, and they let Halak walk?
I think Jaroslav Halak has played his last game for the Bruins. Okay. I think that loss in overtime that he had against the Devils, I think it was, the last game that he played, he took an absolute nutty after the game was over when he let up the overtime goal. And I think for him, that was nutty was about him knowing that his time is done in Boston. And he, you know, saw the kid come in when he was out on the COVID protocol break, and Swayman came in and basically took his job. You know, because before that, they were talking about contract extensions for Tuukka and Halak, and it seemed like they were at least going to go another year or two with those two together. But I think Swayman's been so good. I think he looks like the future number one of this team. Like I said, I think he's going to take the job from Tuukka eventually too. And I thought this, you know, first day of training camp when he came from the University of Maine this year at NHL camp back in January, like usually you don't notice goalies that much, young goalies, they don't stand out that much. But you noticed him immediately, just the aggressiveness, the glove hand, the confidence, the poise, like all that stuff. He looked like he belonged right from jump. And he dominated in the HL when he was down there. Now he's doing the same thing at this level. I think sooner than later, he's going to take the job from Tuukka. And to be honest with you, like, I think he's definitely going to be the backup last year. I think Halak's going to have to find a job somewhere else. I wonder what's going to happen if things go sideways for Tuukka in these playoffs and Swayman gets in there. Because I think if he gets in there, he's not giving it up. I think he's that good. And, okay, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the playoffs if it does happen.
Joe, always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. And Gregor, I got to give you credit. You were right about Taylor Hall. He is not a one-hit wonder, my friend. He's doing pretty well in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it just shows you how bad things were in Buffalo, man. Like, unbelievable there. It's I wouldn't – hey, fun one for you, Joe. Do you think there's any chance the Sabres – hire Gorton? Like, basically, they just take the whole Rangers front office and bring it to Buffalo.
I think
president, GM, and
why
the coach.
Not? They were building something good with the Rangers, young, talented crew. Like, they were doing it the right way with the Rangers. Why not bring them to Buffalo to bring some stability and do exactly what they were doing with the Rangers? You know, the problem for Gorton is, you know, he was already dealing with one crazy owner that just up and decided to fire him in New York. Is he going to want to deal with the Pegulas in Buffalo? I don't know. Based on everything you see and hear about them, I don't know how, you know, great that situation is going to be either. So Gorton's a great hockey guy. He did a great job when he was with the Bruins. So wherever he goes, I think he's going to have success. Buffalo would be lucky to have him.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care.